Good evening and welcome to our March 29, 5 p.m. evening service. We're going to be reading in a few moments from Philippians chapter 4. I invite you to grab your Bibles, and we're going to also be singing from the Trinity Psalter Hymnal number 246, Though Troubles Assail Us. If you want to go ahead and grab your Bibles and your songbooks or your printed out sheets, and settle in. We'll get started here in just a few moments, but it's nice to see you all this evening, or to be with you all this evening. Wish I could see you all, and we'll be starting just a minute from now. Okay, we're just going to get started in just a minute from now. But while we're waiting for a few other members from our church to join in on our live viewing, if you are able, it would be wonderful to hear some posts from some of you, either now or maybe a little bit later. You can put a post on this Facebook page. And that's a way not only to encourage myself and to know who's watching, but also to encourage the other members of the church. It's kind of a little bit of a hi, how you doing sort of thing. If you want to put a post on there, that we were can show a little bit of unity, that we are all together spending some time together and meditating on God's word. So if you want to do that, you can feel free to do that later on today. Well, let's begin our time together with an opening prayer. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day that you have made, and we thank you for this day of rest, this day of joy and gladness, this day when we can celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into glory. And we do pray, O Lord, that in this time that we have together as a congregation, that we would be encouraged as we meditate upon you and upon the blessings that you have done for us. We do, O Lord, thank you for the sunshine and the rain. We thank you for the warm weather. And we do thank you for the flowers that are beginning to grow and to blossom and bloom. And we do, O Lord, look forward to the coming of summer at the appointed time, and we look forward to being able to spend time together as a church again, Lord willing, in the near future, particularly with this time of year as we think of Palm Sunday coming up soon and Easter following and Resurrection Sunday. We do, O Lord, rejoice in all the things that Christ has done for us. We thank you for his willingness to come as a servant to lay down his life for us. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have as sheep of your pasture to live for Christ and to show this world that we are not living for ourselves. We thank you for the comfort belonging not to ourselves, but belonging to Christ in body and soul and life and in death. So may it be, O Lord, that in our time together, your name is glorified, and wherever the people who are watching this, wherever they are from, wherever they are currently today, that they would be encouraged, and tomorrow, in whatever work you set before us, whether it's inside the home or away from the home, that we would be a blessing and a benefit to those whom you have placed in our lives. We do pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins. We acknowledge that we do not deserve your mercy. We do not deserve your grace. We have fallen short of your glory. We and our children are born and conceived in iniquity. Yet we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to be your children, that you have placed your name, your sign, and seal upon us, and that you have called us your own. We do pray, Lord, that we would live as salt and light in this world. And may we shine brightly as stars in the sky, as a city on a hill, living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our first reading this evening, let's turn together in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 2 through verse 7. If you were with us this morning, you might have heard that we are going to be considering anxiety and how to battle anxiety in our current world, in our current day and age. So Philippians chapter 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Synecdoche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true companion, to help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's as far as reading from Philippians. Now we're going to be singing our evening song, which is Trinity Psalter Hymnal 246. It's 246, though troubles assail us. 246, though troubles assail us.
Though troubles assail us and dangers affright, though friends should all fail us and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. The promise assures us the Lord will provide. The birds without garner or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust God for our bread. His saints, what is fitting, shall ne'er be denied. So long as 'tis written, the Lord will provide. When Satan assails us to stop up our path, and courage all fails us, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, the heart-cheering promise the Lord will provide. No strength of our own and no goodness we claim, yet since we have known of the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide. The Lord is our power, the Lord will provide.
The Lord will provide. Amen. Let's turn now for our scripture reading to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 25 through 34 of Matthew chapter 6, going to the Sermon on the Mount here, particularly the subject dealing with anxiety. The title of this section is called Do Not Be Anxious. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's as far as we're reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it as we consider it together this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how stressful are you? What's your stress level like right now? If you're like most people, if you're like myself and my own family, we are all struggling with a lot of anxiety right now. I struggle with it, and I imagine you struggle with it as well. We're dealing with all sorts of new pressures and concerns, trying to keep some semblance of normalcy in a life that is very chaotic and uncertain. Well, anxiety is not an unexpected, nor is it a new problem. People have always found something to be anxious over. In fact, Jesus' own disciples dealt with the same tendency towards fear and apprehension. Now, most of us know what anxiety is like. We know the cold sweat or the racing heart. We know the frustration, the feeling of helplessness, the sleepless nights or the heart palpitation. When you feel like there is a weight on your shoulders and a pressure on your chest. Well, today we find Jesus Christ coming to us to calm our troubled, anxious hearts. And the way Christ calms our troubled hearts is by reminding us who God is and what he has done. So we start in our first point by considering the source of anxiety. Where does anxiety come from? Why do we find ourselves so troubled and disturbed? And the reason we need to know where anxiety comes from is so that we might be able to find the solution in the next point. Now our text begins in Matthew 6, verse 25, where Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life." Literally, Jesus says, "Do not give troubled thought. Do not give troubled thought to your life. Do not allow your mind to be filled with anxious ideas. Do not fill your thoughts with cares and concerns." And what follows here in the following verses is Jesus giving us reasons why we should not be anxious, which we'll consider in our next point. Well, an anxious thought is like a troubled water. It's disturbed, it's bubbling, it's chaotic, it's foaming. Your stomach feels like you're in an airplane and you're flying through turbulence, jumping up and down. Children, I ask you this question. Have you ever been to an amusement park, let's say Six Flags, and you've worked up the courage to get on this really large roller coaster, and you're coming up that first steep incline, and you just crest the top, and you start rushing down, and that feeling that you get when your stomach jumps up into your throat, that's the feeling that you have when you are anxious, that you can't catch your breath. Well, what sort of things are we anxious about? What sort of things does Jesus speak about here in this passage? Well, the first thing that Jesus here says here is in verse 25 is, do not be anxious about your life. Anxious about your life. Anxious about what your future might hold. Anxious about what next week or next month or next year will hold. What hardships might be in store for us? What if I might lose my job, or what if my wife gets sick or my kids fall behind at school? We get anxious about perceived attacks. What if people don't like me? What if people don't want me? What if people don't need the things that I have to give or contribute? We worry about things that might happen, that might possibly come to be. Continuing in verse 25, we are told to not be anxious about what we will eat or what we will drink. What will we eat? Where will we go for food? If we go to the grocery store and we find that there is no food, I imagine 2 months ago, this thought never crossed your mind. What if you go to the grocery store and there is no food? But now, I imagine you might have had those thoughts in the past few weeks. What if I get there and what I need is not present? What will I do then? Added to this, what if I lose my job? Or what if there's a slowdown? How will I be able to provide for all the things for my family? And concerning the body, Jesus continues, about what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Concerning your body, most of us have way more clothes than we need. And yet we think about, what sort of clothes will I wear? What jeans are in style? Will I have the right shirt to wear to impress my friends or to look like I fit in with my classmates? We could add to this, we worry about our health. How do I avoid getting sick? What would I do if I caught the coronavirus? What would I do if my wife or my children caught the coronavirus? What if I develop pneumonia and there's no hospital bed for me to go to? What if, what if, what if? When we face all these sources of anxiety, really we're coming to the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue is this. Do we trust? Do we have a confidence that God is in control? Will he really take care of me and all my needs? So we could ask the question this way: what causes anxiety? What causes worry and fear and doubt? What sinful motivation lives within me? What sinful thoughts or desires? Well, I think we could boil it down to three main sinful desires or thoughts that lead to anxiety. The first heart posture that leads to anxiety is doubt. Is doubt. We question, is God really in control of the economics of our country? Is God really in control of the stock market? Is God really in control of the politics? And who is elected and who is not? Is God really in control of who gets sick and who does not get sick and who gets well after they are sick? Do I trust God so much so that I lay my life in his hands and I trust that he will work all things for my good and for my glory, for my good and for his glory? The second evil motivation that tends to find itself in our own hearts is a self-reliance or pride. We don't want to let go. We like to be in the driver's seat. When things are taken out of our hands, we get filled with worry because we think we know better, and we think we need to control the direction of our lives and what's going on around us. The fact of the matter is, anxiety really displays what lives in our heart and what we think about God. If we have wrong ideas about who God is, then anxiety grows in our heart. And if we have our heart set on pursuing the wrong things, then anxiety grows in our heart. This leads to our third and final sinful attitude, and that's found back in our passage in Matthew chapter 6 in the context that talks about, in verse 19, storing up for yourself treasures on earth. The final sinful attitude is that we are starting to seek first our own kingdom, our own desires. We get verse 33 wrong. Or verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, where we sinfully seek first our kingdom, our desire, and our pleasures, our wants come first. Well, if we're trying to attain stability and security for ourselves by our own hands, in our own wisdom, it's understandable that worry and fear, doubt and dread would seem to multiply in our lives. And really, that brings us to this revealing point. Anxiety springs from a heart that has wrong views about God and wrong desires within it. So if we have a desiring our treasures, our plans, my reputation, my security, my future, my definition of success, then when these things are put under attack, when these things are shaken, when these things are put on hold, when these things come into question, then all of a sudden our hearts are filled with fear. And when we don't have a right confidence in the fact that God is in control and he is all-powerful and he is loving, then anxiety comes in our heart as well. So to draw this first point to a conclusion, anxiety reveals what you think about God, and it reveals what your heart desires. Just for an example, as a conclusion to this first point, I, as an individual, thrive on order and stability. I have my plans, and I think my plans are good. And when my plans are broken, when things don't happen like I think they should, I tend to get nervous and frustrated and anxious, even perturbed, because I had a plan, I thought it was good, and my plan has not come to be. So we need to acknowledge that sometimes anxiety comes from a heart that is more focused on its own desires instead of seeking first the kingdom and God and his righteousness. So anxiety comes when we think wrong thoughts about God and when our hearts desire things that they shouldn't. So that brings us now to our second point, which is the solution to anxiety. Now that we know where anxiety comes from thinking too highly of ourselves and thinking too lowly of God, we move on to the solution. And the first solution that Jesus Christ gives to us here in this verse, as Jesus says in verse 27, your anxiety is futile. Verse 27 puts it this way, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The first solution to anxiety is to acknowledge its futility. Being anxious solves nothing. Your anxiety cannot change anything around you. Surely your worry does not make things better. In fact, it often makes things worse. Anxiety cannot put a dollar in your pocket. It will not add a minute to your life. It will not add an inch to your height. You cannot eat anxiety. You cannot wear anxiety. In fact, anxiety eats away at the things around you. So what good does anxiety and worrying do? It only troubles your heart. So the first part of the solution comes from acknowledging the futility of anxiety. This is not helping. This is not a Christian approach. In fact, Jesus begins by giving this command, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious, because anxiety comes from a heart that is doubting who God is and what he does. So we need to decide to commit ourselves as Christian. I will not give my heart over to this anxiety. I will not allow my life to be controlled by the troubled heart. The second thing that Jesus does in order to help us battle anxiety is he gives us a beautiful picture of a life without anxiety. Look with me in your Bibles, and we find that there are two pictures here that Jesus gives. The first picture is found in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Consider the birds. Look at the birds. They don't plant seeds, they eat seeds. They don't build barns to store their food for the winter. Birds don't worry. They sing. And yet they are provided for in even the harshest of winters. Next, Jesus continues in verse 28, consider the lilies. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Consider the lilies of the field, Jesus says. They don't have looms for weaving. They do not sew their own clothes. And look at how beautiful they are. It's kind of a funny picture, children, when you think about it, that Jesus gives us here. Imagine for a moment if you were to go and see birds building a barn. Or consider flowers sowing their own clothes. And yet God brings flowers and birds before us and uses them as a beautiful picture showing us of how God provides for these small, seemingly insignificant creatures. And see how peaceful and calm they are, and yet they are provided for, given their food and their clothing in due season. They don't worry, they don't fret, they don't even make plans, and yet they are provided for. They are so kind and so gracious. And God is so powerful and so loving that he feeds each bird with his hand and clothes each flower with clothing from his loom. And in fact, we are more important than these. Because which of these are God's children? If God clothes the grass of the field, verse 30 says, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, won't he clothe you? In order to battle anxiety, consider who we are. Consider who you are. Consider your worth. You are an image bearer. You were made in the image of God. God took the dust of the earth, formed man out of it, and breathed his spirit, his life-giving spirit, into his nostrils, making man to be a representative of God, made to be in a relationship with God. But not only are we made to be the image bearers, made to be the crown of creation, we are redeemed as children. Consider your worth, child of God. If God the Father has loved you so much that he gave you the most precious, the most expensive gift that could be given, will he not also give you these normal, simply daily things like food and shelter? If God has given to you the most precious gift, Romans 8 verse 32 says, if he has given to you his only begotten Son, will he not also give you these lesser things? So consider your worth. Consider who you are as a creature of God and as a child of God. So have a right view of who God is as a kind, loving, generous, all-powerful, and yet redeeming, loving, saving God. And consider who you are as a child of God, dearly loved. One who is the recipient of the greatest gift, which is life through Jesus Christ. Stop trying to solve things that might never be, but rather take one day at a time. Verse 34 puts it this way, "Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble." In order to battle anxiety, take it one day at a time. Live your life with this day-to-day, consistent, confident faith, and seek first the things that matter, the things of God and the things of righteousness. You cannot serve two masters. Your heart is a throne. On it will sit the Lord, or will sit a host of other idols. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, in order to battle anxiety, Jesus says, seek first the things of God and righteousness. Verse 33, acknowledge that our primary pursuit is to be spiritual beings in a relationship with God that are obedient to his word. Consider your chief priority. To battle anxiety, seek what is good, what is lasting, holiness. Spend less time trying to figure out what probably won't come to be, but focus on what is of lasting importance and what is enduring. The fact of the matter is, worldly people cannot take their mind off of worldly things. For example, I think of my own life. How much time, worry, anxiety wouldn't I save if I stopped thinking about politics and the stock market? How much anxiety wouldn't be lifted from my shoulders if I would stop watching the news before I went to bed? What if I took that time and spent it in meditating on God and his word? If we are striving to bring glory to our God and being a blessing to others, then we can confidently say that all these other things will be added to us. And the final step in battling anxiety is acknowledging that God's will is good and his will be done. Verse 32 puts it this way, "Gentiles are seeking the things of this world, but your heavenly Father knows what you need." Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Perhaps one of the lessons that we as a congregation and a community can learn during this traumatic period of life in which we find ourselves is that we can live with much less than we have. And even what we have has not been secured by our wisdom. Not only do we, every one of us, have more than we need, we have failed to appreciate that which we have been given. We should ponder, we should meditate on all that God has given to us, acknowledging that these things are gifts from his hand, and we are to praise him for every one of them. Before we conclude, I want to remind you that the point that Jesus is here making is he's teaching us to be men and women of faith who live in a confident, dependent posture before God, acknowledging him as a heavenly Father who is powerful and a loving Father who cares for us. This does not mean that we can't make plans. It doesn't give us an excuse to be foolish or wasteful. But as we saw from last week, that the plans we make must be made acknowledging that our plans are fallen, our plans are finite. They can easily be broken. We make our plans saying, "If the Lord wills." Today we've seen that when we look at the future, we should have a calm, quiet heart. We must avoid the temptation to get disturbed, constantly going back, reminding ourselves, who is God? What has he done? Who are we as his children? Anxiety exposes the sins that live in our heart, teaching us to the things that we are craving. So we learn to put those things in proper perspective, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To conclude, if worry and anxiety come from a heart that doubts and questions. It is faith that responds by saying, I trust in God and I know that He has my best in mind. As the sermon title states, this is a battle against anxiety. I wish I could tell you, do these three things and you'll never struggle with anxiety again. That's not true. It's not realistic. It's a battle. It's something where we need to preach to ourselves on a consistent basis. I know who God is. I know what He has done. I know what He has promised. I know who I am as a child. So I say no to anxiety. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Or 1 Peter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. What do you do with your anxieties? What do you do when anxiety bubbles up within you like a foaming froth, a troubled water? Scripture says, take those anxieties and cast them on the Lord. Cast them on Jesus Christ. Bring them to Jesus in prayer. Lay them at His feet, knowing that He will care for you. In our daily struggle, we need to be constantly reminding ourselves of these wonderful, encouraging truths. God is all-powerful, and He is our loving Father. In His divine providence, He has provided for me, and He will provide for me until my journey on this earth is done. So we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Give me your Spirit, O Lord. Fill me with your peace and comfort until I arrive safely at home. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage which reminds us of who we are as your children. And we confess, O Lord, how prone to anxiety we are because we still struggle with the sins of idolatry. We still struggle with doubt. We struggle with fear and worry. We struggle with wanting the things of this world, craving them more than seeking you and seeking your face. So we do pray, O Lord, that by your Spirit you would take away our anxious, troubled hearts, that you'd cause us to seek first that which is truly good and lasting, and help us to depend on you every day, knowing that you will provide for us because we are your children and you are our God, our loving Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's confess together the words of, let's do Heidelberg Catechism question and answer one again. We did that a few weeks back. If you'd like to confess it together. Last week we did the Apostles' Creed, so this week let's do Lord's Day 1. I know the order I sent out said a little bit different, but we'll do Lord's Day 1 of Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ by His Holy Spirit also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Our closing song is going to be, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Let's close together in singing.
He is Lord, He is Lord, He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen and amen. Thank you for joining us in our evening service together. Pray for God's blessing upon you and your families in this week to come. And I look forward to hearing from some of you. If you want to reach out or put a comment here at the bottom of this video section, love to hear from you. And praying for you and for safety on your families in this week to come. Take care and God bless.